Excellent. One of the things that we love to do here at Hoboken Grace is to give you the chance to be able to hear the stories of the people who are sitting right next to you, to be able to hear the stories of your neighbors and your coworkers and friends who are experiencing God in really remarkable and powerful ways. Because the reality is what we're talking about and what we come together to celebrate every week, it's not just an idea, it's not just a theory, it's impacting real people's lives in real ways. And for those of you who are here and you're exploring, okay, can I trust Jesus? We want for you to be able to see how that's happening because he wants to do the same thing in your life. And as we come together today, we come together in the midst of a conversation called the Love Project. And if you haven't been with us, we've been looking at how God steps into our life and how Jesus steps into our story and he shifts the way that we look at love. He says, you used to see it this way, but it actually works like this. And you've heard it taught this way, but it actually looks like this. And he's shifting the way that we look at love, what we pursue in love, giving us a different vision, if you will, of love. And if you haven't been with us, you can go back and watch, listen online. I highly encourage you to do that because it's been really powerful to see how he does this in our lives. And we began week one and we looked at how we see love as something that happens to us. He sees love as something that happens through us. We looked at how we see love as a feeling that impacts our actions. He sees love as actions that impact our feelings. And then we built on that in week two, and we looked at how our vision of love is spontaneous. His vision of love is intentional and consistent. And then we looked at how our vision of love, it serves us. It's built around us, but his vision of love is built around the ones that he loves, serves them. And then last week, we looked at this powerful truth that in his vision of love, understanding isn't just a means to an end, but it's one of the ways that we actually love. And that there's something about knowing that you're understood and being understood that makes you feel loved. And one of the ways that we get to love one another is by seeking understanding. I want to understand you. I want for you to be understood, not just so that we can accomplish something, but so that you are loved. And this week, as we come together, I actually want to build on that. I want to flesh that out a little bit further because, you see, it's not enough for us to just know what Jesus has called us to do and what Jesus has taught us. There's an interesting point in Jesus' conversations with his disciples. It's a really powerful moment because he's giving to them their mission. And if you stepped into this relationship with Jesus, your life has incredible purpose because you've been given a mission. Your life is not your own. Sometimes I'll interact with followers of Christ and they'll say, I don't really know what I'm going to do with my life. I say, well, I can tell you what Jesus said you should do with your life because you've been given a mission. This isn't something that we decide on our own. No, we have something that God has called us to accomplish. And Jesus is talking to his disciples just before he leaves them and he gives them this mission. He says this. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is something that's very familiar to a lot of us if you've been in church. But if you haven't, this is what's called the Great Commission. It's where Jesus gives his disciples the mission to go and to make disciples, to make other disciples, for them to introduce people to who Jesus is and the amazing way that Jesus has given his life for them in the amazing way that Jesus loves them. And when we come to this passage, we typically talk about the beginning, but there's more to it than just that. There's more to it than just go make disciples. As a matter of fact, listen to what he says as he continues. He says, go make disciples, baptize them, and then he says this. He says, teach these new disciples. And this is really powerful because he doesn't say, teach them everything that I've told you. He doesn't say, listen, I want for you to teach them what it is that I've said. No, he goes beyond that. He goes beyond that. He says this. He says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. He says, I don't want you to just teach them what. I want you to teach them how. I don't want them to just know what I've said. I want for you to help them live it. How? One of the things that Jesus actually really struggled with about the religious leaders of his time, and one of the things that bothered him intensely about the Pharisees or the religious leaders that were in control when he lived, was that they constantly told people what they were supposed to do, but they never actually helped them do it. He says this about them at one point. He says, they crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. He says, you guys, you're constantly telling people what, but you're never actually helping people with how. It's not enough for us to just know what. It's crucial for us to know how. And you look at this conversation we had last week about, okay, I want to love through understanding. And then you look at the instruction that we saw in the book of James where it says, I want you to be quick to listen and slow to speak. It's interesting, if you go a little bit further in that book, he's talking to them about, listen, don't just be hearers of God's word, but doers. He says, I don't want this to be something that you just understand. I want this to be something that you live. And so I don't want to just talk to you about the what. I want to talk to you about how. How do you live this out? And so as we come together today, I want to continue to unpack this because I want to make sure that we don't just talk about the what, but that we talk about the how. And some of you know what I'm talking about because maybe you've been in church before, and one of the things that can happen in church is where you hear a lot of the what, but nobody ever shares with you the how. And so you go and you hear you need to do this, and you're supposed to do this, and it's supposed to look like this, and there's a lot of what, but you sit there saying, okay, I understand, but how? And as we prepared for this series, and in preparing for today, I've just been incredibly convicted that sometimes I do that to you. Sometimes I share with you the what of what God wants us to do and what God's calling us into, but I don't share with you the how. And I don't think that's okay. I don't think that's okay. I think we're called to help one another with the how as well. And I think sometimes we look at that as less important when in fact it's just as important. And my job is not just to teach the what of what Jesus said, but to help us to live it out. And that means that we have to look at the how. How do we do that? And my fear is that we'd walk through this series and we'd learn, listen, you need, God's calling us to love one another in this way, and God wants us to love one another in this way, but that you would sit there and say, okay, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't know how. And I worry that some of you are there. And I worry that you're going to feel like there's this increasing burden of what it is that you're supposed to do, but feel that no one's taking the time to show you how. So as we come to this passage in James that we looked at last week, and it says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. I don't want to just move on. I want to share with you a little bit more of the how. And another reason that I want to talk about this, and that I want to start off this way this morning, is because of this. You're not always going to be here in Hoboken. One of the realities of our area is that for most of us, we're going to find ourselves at some point moving on from here. And God's going to take us to different places in the country and different places in the world. And one of the things that I want to make sure that I teach you, and one of the things that I want to help you with, is that when you find yourself and God takes you someplace different, I want for you to know what it is that you should look for in the churches that you pursue, or where it is that you're going to find that next church, or the next church that you get connected to or get plugged into, because it's important for you, as God moves you to that new place, to look for a church that allows you to be able to carry out the mission that God's given you. It's important for you to look for a church where you know that you can help other people find their way back to God. For you to look for a church where you can introduce people to Jesus. But then also for you to look for a church that doesn't just teach the what of what Jesus says, but then also the how. That doesn't allow you to believe that growth happens when you know the what, even though you're not actually living it out. And to look for a place that equips you with the how of following Jesus. Because I think it's critical on this journey together. Jesus says that I don't just want you to teach them what I said. I want you to teach them how to be able to live it. How to be able to obey. To live it out on a day-by-day basis. And so today what I want to do is I want to give you a tool that I hope will help you with the how. So you look back at that passage again and it says, I want you to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Last week we looked at how to be able to do that when you're the one who is receiving conflict. So we looked at how to be able to do that when someone comes to you with a problem. We talked about how to make sure that you're not going into fix-it mode and all the different things that we talked about last week. But this week, I want to talk to you about how to do it when you're the one who has to address the problem. So sometimes in life, conflict comes to you. But sometimes you have to go to conflict because of the fact that the other person isn't living up to expectations, or the other person isn't following through on what it is that they said that they would do, or the other person has injured you in some way, or the other person has done something wrong that needs to be addressed. And so you have to be the one who steps into that moment, and you have to be the one who speaks first. So how do you be quick to listen and slow to speak when you're the one who has to speak? How do you live that out? How do you practice seeking to understand when you're the one who has to address the problem? I want to introduce you to something today that I've taught to most of, if not all of our leaders, but I've never taught on a Sunday morning. It has everything to do with the how of being quick to listen and slow to speak. It's called OIC. It stands for this. The O stands for observation. There are going to be times in your life where you have to address a problem in someone else's life, or you have to address a situation inside of your relationship. You need to start with observation. In other words, as you step into that moment, and we're not just talking about romantic relationships here. Some of you have roommates that you need to have this type of conversation with. And right now, you are fuming because this past week, they have left the dishes piled up in the sink every single night. And there is a clear roommate agreement that that will not happen. And yet, it has happened every single night of the past week. And you're fuming and you realize, I have to address this. Or maybe you are in a relationship, you're married, and for the past week, your spouse has left their clothes on the floor of the bathroom, even though the hamper is no less than 2 feet away, has left their clothes on the floor of the bathroom the entire week, every single day. And you walk in here today, and you haven't had the conversation yet, but you are fuming. It is boiling up inside of you. That's why there's so much nervous laughter around the room. Because you know. It's coming. It's going to be bad. And typically the way that we do this is this. One, we ignore or we avoid conflict, and we sweep it under the rug. We push it under the rug until eventually it gets so bad that we blow up. And we step into the moment, and rather than sharing our observation, what we share is our feelings. So we step into the moment and say, I can't believe you're doing this to me. What is wrong with you? You are so lazy. Why can't you pick up after yourself? We have had this conversation over and over and over again, and you continue You continue to display that you don't care about anyone else who lives in this house, and so you leave the dishes. And what we do is we share our emotions. We react to our emotions. We allow it to finally build up until it boils over, and we explode on the other person. As opposed to having a healthy way to engage conflict, and stepping into it, and rather than sharing our emotions, we share the facts. If you're going to learn how to be quick to listen and slow to speak in conflict, specifically where you have to address the conflict, you need to start with the facts. The conversation has to be built around the facts of the situation, which means you can't exaggerate. If you exaggerate, then you begin to have a conversation about something that doesn't exist, which means you need to avoid the words always and never. So when you walk into that conversation and say, you never do the dishes, now you're having a conversation about something that doesn't exist. Because it's not true. One time, they did the dishes. The entire conversation from that point on is going to be about whether or not they one time did the dishes. Which is irrelevant to the solution. Irrelevant to the solution. So you need to share the facts. 4 out of the past 7 days, I have had to pick up your clothes and put them in the hamper. We've talked about this. You have expressed that this is something that you are going to do. You need to share the facts. Be clear about the facts. Now, to be fair, I didn't learn this in a relationship context like that. I learned this actually in the context of an employer with employees. So I learned this as a supervisor at UPS. I learned it from one of my mentors, but I applied it first as an employer. And so I first practiced this as it pertained to most frequently people being late. And so an employee would show up late. Now, typically what we do is we walk into that situation and say, listen, you're always late. Well, they're not always late. And so I had to learn how to be specific. 3 out of the past 5 days or 6 times over the last 2 weeks, you have been late. Don't exaggerate it. Don't make the conversation about something that isn't real. I'm going to share with you the facts. What are the facts of the situation? That's the observation. I'm going to be honest about it. I'm clear about it. It doesn't have anything to do with how I feel. It's just what has actually happened. After you work through the facts of the situation, you then move into the I, which is the interpretation. Now, typically, because as we talked about last week, we assume magical understanding. So we assume we know exactly what's going on. We assume we know exactly why it happened. The reason it happened is because you're lazy. The reason it happened is because you don't care. The reason it happened is because you hate me. There's all sorts of, but we assume that we know why. As opposed to walking in, and here's the key with interpretation. And this has everything to do with being quick to listen and slow to speak, even though you're the one who has to speak first. The key to I is that you don't offer one interpretation, you offer at least 3. 3 possibilities. What are you doing here? You're communicating humility. You're not just thinking about how it impacts you, but you're thinking about the other person, and you're realizing, I don't understand. You're communicating, I don't understand. I'm not going to assume that I perfectly understand. And so therefore, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt that I don't know. So I'm going to share with you 3 different possibilities. I remember the very first time I ever walked through this with someone. It was an employee who had been late. I said, listen, you've been late 3 of the last 5 days. I said, I don't know if something's happening with your car. I don't know if something's happening at work. I don't know if you don't know why it's important for you to be here on time. But you offer multiple possibilities. Why? Because I don't know. I don't know. You're communicating humility. I'm not going to assume magical understanding. And I'm not here to speak my opinion. I'm here to understand what's happening in your life and to understand the situation. What are you practicing? I'm practicing being quick to listen and slow to speak. And so I'm bringing this to you so that I can understand you. And then after you share those three, which my staff practices this all the time, we practice it because we've seen how it impacts our relationships with the people around us, and it impacts how we lead people. And one of my staff members, Nick, who oversees our dinner groups, he shared with me, he says, my last option is always, or there's something here that I don't see. Because it transitions perfectly into C, which is clarification. If you remember, we talked about last week, the key to understanding, when understanding becomes important, clarification becomes crucial. And so you walk into C and you say, clarify. Can you clarify for me what's happening? I don't know if work's just gotten really hard and you just don't have the time, or I don't know if we're out of dishwasher soap, or I don't know if you just don't prioritize this. I'm not really sure what's happening. Maybe there's something here that I don't see, but can you clarify for me what's happening? You assume the position of a listener. I'm going to listen. I'm not here to just speak. I want to be quick to listen and slow to speak. And you open the door for clarity. It's amazing what happens when you begin to do this. I'll never forget, the first time I ever practiced this, I was sold on it. I actually walked through it, like I said, with one of my employees, walked through the conversation. You've been late 3 of the past 5 days, and I don't know if something's happened at home or something's happened with your car. You don't understand why you need to be on time. And I expected an excuse of why he was late. But as I said that to him and asked him, you know, help me understand, he began to weep. I thought, didn't expect this. And he looked at me and he said, so this past Saturday, my grandmother passed away. And the last couple of weeks have been really, really hard. Now, if I had walked into that conversation the way that I typically walked into conflict, which would have been, you're always late, get here on time, or you're not going to have a job. If I had done that, I never would have found out what was happening in his life. Never. It would have never happened. But because someone had taught me this how, the how of how to be able to love people like this, and because I decided to practice it, all of a sudden, the door opened for me to be able to love this person in a way that I never thought possible. For me to know this person in a way that I never thought possible. Can I share something with you? You don't know what's happening in the lives of the people around you. Even the people that you're married to or dating, you don't know. And if you keep walking into conflict the way that you have been, you're never going to find out. Because when you go into it, and I'm going to speak first, and I know what's happening, they just shut down. I remember one of the most powerful moments where I practiced this with Anna, my wife. At this point in our lives, we were late constantly. It was unbelievable. Every time we hung out with our friends, it wasn't that we were just a little bit late. We were always the last person to arrive. But I decided, listen, I'm gonna. Some of you are thinking, Chris, you're still late all the time. It used to be worse. So, but I decided, okay, I'm going to talk to her about this, but I want to do it the right way, which I don't always do. And I said, I'm going to walk through this process. So I sat down with her and I said, the last five times that we've gone out with our friends, we've been the last person to arrive, and we've been significantly late. And I don't know if something's happening at home that I don't know about. I don't know if that's just okay with you. I don't know if I'm doing something that's causing this. I don't know what's happening. Maybe there's something here that I don't see. So can you just clarify it for me? She looked at me, and she said, Chris, one of the things that's really important for me is that when we go out, I want to look good. I want it to be like when we, you know, like when we used to go out on dates. So I want to get dressed up for you. I want for us to continue to attract one another. And she said, that's a priority for me. But now that we have two kids, she said, when you come home, you typically get home about half an hour before we are supposed to leave. She said, with two kids, I can't get ready until you get home, and so it only gives me about half an hour, and so it's almost impossible for me to do that in that time. And I sat there and thought, never thought of that. Now, here's the thing. If I had gone into that the way I normally went into conflict and said, we're always late, you need to get ready on time, do you think I ever would have found that out about my wife? Nope. Never. But because I decided, no, I'm going to be quick to listen and slow to speak, I want to understand. Not only did it help me to understand my wife better, but I felt incredibly loved. Typically in these situations, we think the other person is doing whatever they're doing because they just are completely disrespecting us, right? Or they hate us. But the reality was, the reason that this is happening is because my wife loved me. And I never would have known if I didn't prioritize understanding, if I didn't learn how to be quick to listen and slow to speak. You don't know what's happening in the lives of the people around you. You don't know. I can't tell you how many times this process has saved our staff, where we have walked into difficult conversations and we thought, I know exactly what's happening, and we had no clue. We had no clue. But because we took the time to listen, we found out. Jesus is stepping into our lives and saying, understanding, it's not just me, it's how you love. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. My challenge to you is this. If you interact with people this week, you'll have a chance to practice this. If you have any interaction with people whatsoever, I'm betting you're going to have a chance to practice this. I'm betting many of you have already thought of the opportunity for you to practice this. Because you already know what needs to be addressed. You already know the conflict that you need to talk about. My challenge to you is this. I challenge you to practice this at least once this week. At least once. Because here's the thing. The longer you go before you try to practice it, the less chance there is that you'll actually begin to develop this skill in your life, to live out this how of how to follow what God is calling us to do. So I want to challenge you to practice this at least once this week. Now, for some of you, you need to practice this with other people who are in this room. When someone else is having this conversation with you, do not undermine what they're doing. For those of you who are married, When your spouse, or for those of you who are dating, for the friendships, when the other person comes to you and says, listen, let me share my observation, and they go into interpretation, do not look at them and say, I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. Don't do that. They're learning how to love you better. You are undermining your own future. I'm serious about that. You are undermining your own future. Encourage them in learning how to love you better. Do not discourage them. That's foolish. Encourage them. My challenge to you is to practice it at least once this week. So that maybe, rather than just learning the what of what God's called us to, we can learn the how. And we can follow him into what he wants to teach us about love. And I know this. I know this. Because as I interact with different ones of you, and as I watch you as we're walking through this series, I know for some of you, this conversation has been a little bit frustrating. It's been frustrating because you're not where you want to be. Whether it's that you don't have the relationship that you want, or you have a relationship and it's not where you want it to be, or you're looking at your marriage and it's not where you think that it should be. I know sometimes that can be incredibly frustrating, but here's the thing. I want to take you back. I want to take you back to what we talked about in Easter. And that is this. God is not done creating in you yet. He is not. And you are not who you will be. The only thing that will keep you from experiencing him continuing to create in you and him leading you forward into what you were created to be, the only thing that will keep you there is if you decide to settle for where you are. He is not done creating in you yet. I have this mantra that I've begun to develop with my oldest son. We say it to one another quite frequently. Because he's at that point in life where he's beginning to learn that not everything comes naturally, that you have to work at certain things. And he's coming to the reality that other people are better than him at certain things, and he grows frustrated with that. And so there's this thing that we've been saying back and forth to one another. And I ask him a very simple question. I say, does it matter where you are? When I see him getting frustrated about something that he's struggling with, or when I see him getting frustrated because someone's better than him at something, I ask him, does it matter where you are? And I've taught him to respond back to me. He says, no, it only matters where I'm going. Listen to me, for those of you who, as we're walking through this series, you're growing frustrated. Listen. It doesn't matter where you are. It only matters where you're going. And Jesus is stepping into our lives wherever we are. And he's saying, if you let me, I teach you. I can teach you how to love. I can teach you what that looks like. Don't allow where you are to keep you from where he wants to take you. Don't allow where you are to keep you from where he wants to take you. Doesn't matter where you are. Where are you going? And we have one who can lead us into the life that is truly life. And if we will continue to commit, not just to know what he's taught us, but to do it, to follow, I promise you, you will not be disappointed with where he takes you. You will not be disappointed with where he takes you. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray for those who are here today that maybe are frustrated with where they are. I pray that the incredible hope of Easter, that you are a God who creates, a God who makes new, a God who restores, a God who grows, develops. Father, I pray that the incredible truth of that, the power of that, the encouragement of that, that would allow them to let go of the lie that where they are is where they'll always be. And that together, as a family, as a community, that we will help one another, not just to understand the what, but the how. And together, we will commit over and over again. We will call ourselves back to over and over again, following you. Because we know that you are the one who can lead us to life, who can lead us to the life that is truly life. Father, I thank you for what you've taught us about love. I thank you that you continue to teach us about love. I thank you for how amazingly you've loved us. In Jesus' name.